love, that the divine source of everything is love, and that that is the simple God's truth. And knowing that that love is at the very core of my being, it is in my cells, my DNA, I know that that love is also in each and every person's cells and DNA in their heart on this planet. And so I know as we connect this morning, whether it's virtual, in person, I know that we are that center of love. And having it emanate from our hearts right now as I invoke this word, I know that that healing is going deep within individuals, within communities, and globally. So being that love, being that light is the truth, the simple truth, and it's the only truth that we need to hold during this time. And so I'm deeply grateful for this opportunity of co-creation in the virtual world with Ventura's Centers for Spiritual Living, with each and every individual who is watching this now or on the YouTube later, knowing absolutely that that love of pure spirit is all we need, and that's exactly who we are right now. So with gratitude overflowing, I release this word into that law of love that's always in action for the highest good, the highest healing, and I simply let it be, and so it is.
And won't you remain in an inwardly focused place as we listen to the words of our recorded sacred reading by my husband, Hugh, who's staying home today.
Lockdown by Brother Richard Hendrick. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that after just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and gray and clear. They say that in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across the empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivery to the housebound. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number through the neighborhood so that elders may have someone to call on. Today, churches, synagogues, mosques, and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, the weary. All over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbors in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality, to how big we really are, to how little control we really have, to what really matters, to love. So we pray, and we remember that, yes, there is fear, but there does not have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there does not have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there does not have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but there does not have to be disease of the soul. Together, we let love prevail.
We're going to take a few minutes to meditate. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, feel your feet grounded to the floor. Feel your mind and heart expanding, taking a deep breath. Let yourself settle in to the stillness, to the light that is always present. I invite you to take this moment, let your mind be aware of who we really are, remembering the love that we have, the love that we are. And as you breathe, deep breaths, taking in that quiet, let yourself feel the presence. You can feel the gratitude of this moment, opening your eyes to what is, as it is, and so it is.
Good morning. I'm grateful to be here. Grateful to be here because I get to sing this particular song. It's helping me today. It's a song called Compassion. And I like to say that this one is dedicated to practitioners who are always holding the highest and best for us. Instead of always just giving a bunch of advice, just holding that place of truth, knowing the truth about me makes a big difference. So this is called Compassion. Fear came by for tea one afternoon. She cried and cried so much that soon tea was tepid and forgotten. The fear said, this time I think he's gone for good. So in my mind I'm wondering, should I say this or that or not? And suddenly the silence, right when everything was quiet, I knew what was needed, just love and compassion. Mm-hmm. fear, picked up on the second ring. He mumbled before confessing, he was totally besotted. The fear moaned, he's only toying with my heart. So now I'm wondering how to start to unstop a mind that's clotted. Then in the silence, right when everything was quiet, I knew what was needed, just love and compassion. Fear, binding, blinding fear, fear no longer speaks through me. Oh, no, no, no. It's love, love right now and here that clearly colors all I see. I see you now, I see true now. All is well. Forgot to mail the check today. Tomorrow someone's rightful pay will not be in their possession. Sometimes I feel like such a simple-minded fool. Maybe I should go back to school to pursue some safe profession. But in the silence, right here where everything is quiet, I know what is needed, just love and compassion. Just a love and compassion, compassion. It's just a love.
Thank you, Ray. Thanks so much. I hope everybody clapped for that at home because it was just wonderful. Thank you so much for driving all the way up here and helping us with that beautiful song. We're hearing another one shortly, so stay tuned. Okay, so now it's my turn. I get to speak in a whole new format, and you know, we'll see how this goes. I want to start by saying that I welcome your feedback. It'll be slightly different. I know some of you come to this service to hear me speak in a certain way, and I just felt moved to do things a little bit differently today, given the live streaming and given the state of the world. So by all means, do let me know what works for you, what doesn't work for you. You can email me or you can comment on Facebook, but if it's too mean, maybe keep it private, okay? Okay, so what I'm talking about today is strategies for unsettling times. Strategies for unsettling times. I think that probably everybody can agree that these are unsettling times. You know, many of us have been through 9/11. That was unsettling in its own way. Many of us have been through fires. The Thomas fires were extremely unsettling. This one seems to be even more unsettling, I think largely because of the factor of the unknown. You know, there's so much unknown about this, and it feels out of control. And it feels like it's throwing our impermanence up into our face. So, how do we cope with that? Are there strategies for that? Now, as a former registered nurse, I do know that there are a lot of strategies to keep us physically healthy, such as eating right, eating nutritious foods, and exercising, and drinking lots of fluids, lots of water, lots of healthy fluids, and not beer, Ray, okay? All right. And And sleep. Sleep is one of the pillars of health. But I think that, okay, the three normal pillars of health are nutrition, exercise, and sleep. But I think there is a fourth pillar. And that fourth pillar is spiritual sustenance. That we need to do things with our minds, with our hearts, with our beings, in terms of aligning ourselves with the greatest spiritual way of being in this particular situation. Now, one of those first things that we need to do in order to align ourselves is to be really clear about what it is we are struggling with. So I'm going to be asking a series of questions throughout this message, and if you want to, jot them down for yourself, but you can also jot them down on the Facebook feed. Next week, when I revive my blog, you can also respond to the questions on the blog, because what we're trying to do is to keep the community engaged, because we all need each other at times like this. So my first question is, specifically, what is it that is causing you to struggle the most in this situation? And it could be something like, there's no toilet paper, or it could be something like, I'm feeling afraid, or I'm feeling depressed, or I'm feeling isolated. Just see if you can be really honest and just see what comes up for you as you identify what is it exactly that I'm struggling with. And if you're not struggling, well, throw that in there too, because there are some people that are thriving in this situation. Okay. So now I'm going to give you some strategies that I think will help all of us, particularly as we practice them as a community. The first strategy is to look up. My friend, Reverend Mark LaPonce, who is my prayer partner, I speak with him every week, and we had quite a phone call this past Friday when we spoke about everything that our churches were going through this past week. But he mentioned to me that he had read a study that when you actually physically look up, it changes your brain. Would you all look up at home? And the people here that are running tech here, everybody look up. Jen, you don't have to make the camera go up. It's okay. Everybody look up. And see if maybe something shifts within you. See if something changes just a little bit. You know, the science says, and I wasn't able to find the study, but the science says that it affects your brain chemistry in some way. When Mark said that to me, though, I said, you know, that reminds me of a really famous quote. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my strength. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my strength. And I know that that quote is true because it is from the Sound of Music. And maybe the Bible, too. Two great sources of spiritual wisdom. Note to self, mystical musicals for a new class title. Is everything going okay with the sound? Do I need to do something differently? I'm getting little frowny faces in the sound people. Okay. We'll just carry on as if everything is perfect because it is. Okay. All righty. So the next thing is for me to ask you, well, no, I'm not going to go there yet. You know, one of the spiritual reasons for looking up, and people often when you forget something, you look up like, what is that? Where did I put my car? Where did I park today? Or you look up when you're trying to imagine something. Florence Scovel Shinn says that in the divine mind, there is already, for every problem, there is already a solution in the divine mind. So maybe we're looking up to see that solution, because we think of spirit as up. For whatever reason, even though spirit is also down and within. So, is there a place in your life where you could simply practice looking up, gaining a new view, looking for a new perspective? And actually, looking up is a way of surrendering, a way of saying, you know, I don't know everything. My small mind doesn't know everything, but there is a power and a presence that is both within me and around me. And if I look up, I open up my heart and my being and my attitude towards receptivity of that presence. So just think about that and see if there's an area in your life that feels stuck. And maybe if you just look up, both physically and mentally and emotionally, that something will shift for you. And again, I'd be interested to hear those comments as to where you are looking up and what's working for you, and if it isn't working for you as well. The next thing I'd like to talk about is something that we call cognitive reframe. It's a psychology term. They talk a lot about in NLP. And that is taking a situation that you are perceiving, because reality is perception, right? And shifting your perception of it, reframing it in a slightly different way. One of the things that I've encountered in speaking with people all this week is that people are struggling with the idea of being quarantined, of being isolated. And then last week I was on a conference call. I was on a conference call with a bunch of people, but one of the practitioners was there, and he said that he too had been struggling with isolation, but then he realized that he had actually gone on silent retreats, silent solitary retreats, and paid for them on purpose. So we are getting a silent solitary retreat for free. How exciting is that? That is a cognitive reframe of discovering how can I look at this differently. From the Course in Miracles, they're frequently asking in the Course in Miracles, how can I see this differently? And just allowing, again, it's another act of surrender, allowing the greater yet to be, the greater I am, to pour into you in a way that will shift your brain, shift your cognition, shift your perception in a way that is perhaps more supportive, not only for you, but for everyone around you as well. Everyone around you that may not be physically in your space, but everyone that is in your heart and a phone call away or an email away. So ask yourselves, how can I reframe quarantine or isolation or anything that's causing me to struggle in a positive way? Again, I look forward to hearing your responses. The next thing I want to talk about. Another coping strategy, another spiritual strategy for challenging times is to allow the ordinary to become sacred. It already is sacred, but sometimes we don't see it that way. I was on another conference call. You'll probably hear me say this a lot this morning because I've been on many, many conference calls since we can't meet in person. I was on another conference call with my friends from Service Space. Actually, it was a global conference call with probably over 100 people on it. And the topic was the coronavirus. Service Space is an organization, a global organization that is dedicated to kindness and generosity. And it's quite remarkable. They do everything with technology for the most part, with some in-person meetings. Anyway, I was on this global conference call with my friends from Service Space, and they had doctors and statisticians, and they had me as a wisdom teacher, and they had a Buddhist monk as another wisdom teacher, and we all got to share what our take on the coronavirus situation was. One of the things that this doctor shared, his name was Sri, and he was from India, but he's currently working in the States, but he's worked all over the world. He said that he's in San Francisco now, and at some point, the authorities in a San Francisco hospital dedicated an entire unit, an entire floor, to people that were struggling with COVID-19, people that were diagnosed and needed treatment. And so when the doctors first went in to treat them, they suited up, they put on all of their hazardous gear wear, they put on gloves, they put on masks, they even put on shields that you see sometimes. They were all hazmated out, basically. And so they met in a circle, and they talked about all of the patients. And they talked about their strategies for each patient and what was going on with the patient. And then the chaplain, who was also wearing his hazmat outfit, stepped in, and he led them in a prayer. My friend Sri said that this was unusual in the United States, that sometimes in other cultures that they pray a lot, or they do a chant, or they do a meditation before going in to treat patients. But in his experience as a doctor in the United States, this had not happened. And so afterwards, he talked to the chaplain, and the chaplain very simply said, "We are ordinary people becoming sacred. We are called to the sacred work of healing the sick and doing our best to ameliorate this condition that is causing so much struggle and so much pain and so much stress in so many people. So we are ordinary people becoming sacred. Now, it's true for that doctor. It's true for all of those doctors in that circle. It's true for that chaplain, and it's also true for all of us. We are ordinary people becoming sacred. And if you can't see it in yourself, but I hope you can you at least look around you and see how much you're appreciating the sacredness of life that surrounds you all of the time? All of the time, and before, we just didn't notice it. You know, when I go up in the mountains, I certainly appreciate I hike in the mountains with my dogs. We're still allowed to do that. We're still allowed to walk our dogs if we practice social distancing. When I go up in the mountains with my dogs, and sometimes I will just look at a tiny little flower and just be so grateful that it's there. And some people will call those flowers weeds, but I call them beauty. There is so much beauty in our lives that we just have been so busy and so driven that we tend to overlook it. You know, I hate to bring this up because it's such a topic, but what about toilet paper, you know? Everybody is obsessed with toilet paper now. Toilet paper has become the holy grail. Which is odd because probably many of us have traveled in cultures where there is no toilet paper. So there's that. You know, sacredness is a state of mind. But if we can cultivate the idea that really everything is sacred, the ordinary becomes sacred, then we can see that and we can live it. And it influences the way that we interact with reality. It influences the way that we interact with ourselves. It influences the way that we react with others. And it certainly interacts the way that we react and act with this pandemic. It helps us act from a responsible place. However, my next coping strategy is about something else. I have spoken to many people over the last couple of weeks that feel ashamed or guilty because they are afraid, or because they're in despair, or because they're suffering. And they may ask me, you may ask me, how is that a spiritual strategy? Mindfulness is a spiritual strategy. Mindfulness is a way to look at what we are really feeling and not try it and beat it into submission. We have done that for too long in too many spiritual teachings, including this one, that we are supposed to believe that God is all there is, and God is all there is, but if God is all there is, then God is in the fear too. God is in the despair. God is in everything. So if we're willing to be mindful and to sit with our challenging feelings, whether it's feelings of despair or isolation or depression or loneliness or anger or blame, if we can just sit with it as an observer and see what it wants to teach us, then that opens us also to greater possibilities. That's an inner way of looking up to see something new. And I like to look at what Matt Kahn said. He said that whenever we are angry, we deserve more love, not less. Whenever we are in despair, we deserve more love, not less. Whenever we are fearful, we deserve more love, not less. And as we start to apply that more love, not less, something shifts within us. And the fear and the anger and the despair, the suffering, the loneliness, all of that dissipates. Because we have come home. We have come home to who we really are, which is the awareness that is inclusive of everything. And so now, if you could just ask yourself, first of all, I forgot the one before, what has become sacred for you? What has become sacred for you? And then in terms of what I just said about giving yourself permission to feel angry or scared or lonely or whatever it is, what about asking yourself, what place within me deserves more love, not less? And how can I offer that more love to myself? And then if you're really bold, I wonder if you could spread that out to include others. What person around me that seems distressed or that seems distressing? What policies, what governments, what people are struggling? And is it true that they deserve more love, not less? You know, even, this may be too soon, but even with the coronavirus, I wonder if this situation, if the virus itself, deserves more love, not less. And we know that love is often setting good boundaries. So doing the work to not let the coronavirus wreak havoc in our lives is actually a form of love. But it becomes love when we do it intentionally, with the intention to love. Okay? So again, ask yourself, what in me deserves more love, not less? And how can I stretch that to encompass other things, even things that are really challenging to love? Okay. The last strategy that I want to offer to you is service. Service just plain old makes you feel better. Service is just something that opens our hearts to reveal oneness and unity and wholeness. A little while ago, I told you about that story where the doctor was with his colleagues and the chaplain said that we are ordinary people becoming sacred, and how meaningful that was for him. Through service, the sacred becomes ordinary. And I don't mean ordinary in a mundane way. I say that through service, the sacred becomes ordinary because you start to see the sacred everywhere. The ordinary, the commonplace, becomes omnipresent. Becomes omnipresent sacredness through service. Through service, the ordinary becomes sacred. And sacred means holy, that sometimes we have to make sacrifices, and that this is the work that we were called to do. This is the work that all of us were called to do. We see gifts and miracles everywhere. The sacred becomes commonplace. And we all can find individual ways how to do this. I don't think I can give you a to-do list as to how to turn your ordinary moments into sacred moments, but I'll tell you something that I've been practicing lately, and that is, whenever I go to the grocery store and you see how hard the folks at the grocery store are working, oh my goodness, they're working so hard to feed us, to put food on the shelves, to make sure that we get what we need, to deal with our disappointment when we can't find what we need. And if I can, when I'm at the grocery store, I will take someone aside and stand 6 feet apart and say, "You are an unsung hero." So that's my way. That's my way. But there are millions of ways. Rumi said thousands of ways or hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. But I'm going to say that there are an infinite number of ways to kneel and kiss the ground and to identify the sacred in the ordinary and the ordinary in the sacred. Our center is going to be providing you with opportunities to be served and to serve. So think about this for a minute. You know, even if you are in a place where you can't serve, but you need to be served, and I meant to say this when I was talking about fear and anguish and despair and all of that stuff, even if you really are there, do you recognize that your honesty about where you are is a service to us? When I spoke with somebody, several people this week, about the sadness that they were feeling, it actually helped me develop greater empathy for the world at large, and most especially for our community, what people might be going through. So your willingness to be served is a service in itself. Your willingness to be honest about your needs is a service in itself. And if you are in a place to serve, actually serving, finding a unique and creative way to serve will help you feel better. will help you feel like there's a little something that you can do. And if everybody's doing a little something, this will shift. It has to. At our center, we are in the process of compiling data. People are going to get phone calls to see what they need or to see if they want to serve. We'll contact you via email. We have somebody who is dedicated to folks that are not electronic savvy, people that may have flip phones. Sorry. people that are just don't do Facebook or don't do blogs or what have you. We're planning on contacting everybody sometimes next week. So now, if you want to think about it, if there is an area where you would like to serve, we're looking for inspiration, and I'm providing that by reviving my blog and generating conversation around it. We're looking for physical support, which will involve bringing people groceries or other items that they need as we can get them. And we're looking also for spiritual support, which might mean turning all of the meditations into support groups and having additional support groups as well. And then we're looking for connection. People who are willing to just call somebody and say, I just wanted to check in with you. How are you doing? Let's talk about such and such. And then hopefully inspire that person to call two or three other people so that we start to ripple. This is a huge opportunity. This is a huge opportunity that is quite distressing and quite struggling sometimes, but it is still a huge opportunity no matter what it looks like on the news and no matter what it looks like on the statistics. This is a huge opportunity for us to awaken in our spiritual solidarity, in our spiritual singularity, in our solitude, which is really solidarity, to wake up and to recognize that God is this. You know, I used to say that God is bigger than the coronavirus, that the coronavirus is here, right? It's this big, and God is the size of this whole room. Whoa, stop that. Really, if there is nothing but God, there is only God. And so perhaps there is a higher holy purpose in this coronavirus to do all of those things that was said in Hugh's beautiful recorded reading to get us to slow down and to awaken to that power and that principle and that presence that is so longing to emerge through us as we reconcile this situation and come out stronger than ever before. One of those ways is through service. So I'm going to close with a reading about that. This is a really simple way to serve. And it's by Rabbi Yosef Kaneski. One of the brand new terms that has entered our daily conversation is social distancing. It is shorthand, as we know very well, for the practical physical precautions that we all need to and must take in order to protect ourselves and others. I'd humbly suggest, though, that we use the term itself sparingly, if at all. As an aside, I was taught social generosity as an alternative. Language is a powerful shaper of thinking. And the very last thing we need right now is a mindset of mutual distancing. We actually need to be thinking in the exact opposite way. Every hand that we do not shake must become a phone call that we place. Every embrace that we avoid must become a verbal expression of warmth and concern. Every inch and every foot that we physically place between ourselves and another must become a thought as to how we might be of help to that other should the need arise. It is obvious that distancing, if misplaced or misunderstood, will take its toll not only upon our community's strength and resiliency, but upon the very integrity and meaning of our spiritual commitment. And who knows if it was for this time that we have committed ourselves to walk in God's ways. Let's stay safe, and let's draw on one another in a way that is closer than ever before. This is the sacred work that we're all called to do. Let us pray. And so I turn within and just trust and know that there is a power and a presence that is everything. That is the darkness, that is the light, that is in sickness and in health, and better for worse, and richer and poorer. It is all of these things. There is nothing but God. There is nothing but love. If God is omnipresence, then God is all there is. And right here in this sacred moment, I affirm, and I hope that you affirm with me, I believe in God alone. There is no God but God. Meaning that we cannot make a false God out of anything because there is only God. And so we turn and we resonate in this place. We stretch our minds. We look up to see the truth and the power of knowing that truly God is all there is and that God is in every single detail of our lives, including the current situation that we're facing, the pandemic. And so right here and right now, I speak a word of truth. I invoke safety. I invoke wholeness. I invoke peace of mind. I invoke cooperation. I invoke service. I invoke a higher view, a greater expansion of possibilities. I invoke the solution that is already perfect in divine mind. I invoke a knowing that that solution is forthcoming for all of us. And I invoke a world that is better because of this. A world that is healed and whole, that blesses our lives individually, collectively, and that blesses all beings reaching out to the farthest corners of the infinite universe. I am grateful for the participation in this service today, for everyone that said yes to this service. I am grateful for the volunteers that helped us do this, and so grateful for every single person in the world that is contributing in their own unique way as we move through this time. I am grateful for this teaching, so grateful for this teaching that inspires us and lifts us up to do the work of love always. I'm grateful for all teachings everywhere, synagogues, temples, mosques, ashrams, fundamentalists, atheists, agnostics. Just so grateful for love that is omnipresent. And so with that in heart and mind and being, I say thank you, Spirit, thank you, love, and I release these words into the divine mystery. And together we say, and so it is.